appreciate Rex filling in for me last week as we took Brennan down to Tampa. We had a good trip, short trip. Saw a lot of people that we knew down there. We're glad to have those of you that are visiting today. We have several visiting. We're glad you're here. Hope you can come back and be with us again. And we have been going through Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to continue with that series this morning. And today we want to talk about Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, the salt of the earth. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." I imagine this is not the first time that you will have heard a lesson on being the salt of the earth or have thought about this subject, but I think it's an important thing for us to consider. And we do want to consider, what is it that Jesus means when he tells his disciples that they are the salt of the earth? There's been a lot of things that have been said about this text as people try to explain what it means that we are the salt of the earth. And if you pick up any number of books, you'll find a couple of things that most of them will tell you about salt, that salt was used in a number of different ways in ancient times. And so scholars are vexed as to what attribute of salt it is that Jesus is emphasizing here, or seem to be. So one of the primary points that is often made about salt is that salt is a preservative. And it's true, salt is a preservative, and they didn't have refrigerators back then, so salt was an important ingredient in the life of those in ancient times, because they could preserve their meats. Also, salt was added to sacrifices that indicated the strength of the covenant. And salt also flavored the foods that they ate, and that's probably what I think of mostly when I think of salt, is it's adding flavor. And if I don't know what kind of food Amelia had in the hospital, but hopefully she didn't have to have the low sodium stuff. But because that's why you lose weight in the hospital, because you don't want to eat that. It doesn't taste good if there's no salt. So what many scholars and writers tell us is that maybe we don't need to narrow down too much what Jesus is talking about here when it comes to salt. We try to incorporate all these different things that and these different uses for salt in the ancient world, that we need to concentrate on salt being a preservative, and that was the intended meaning. Or maybe there were multiple meanings that Jesus had when he talks about salt. And so many lessons have been given that I have heard, that you talk about this cultural context, that there's this intended meaning here of salt being a preservative, and that we are to be the salt of the earth, then we are a preservative, that we are supposed to keep the world from corruption. And maybe you've heard that used before. I want to challenge our thinking a little bit on that attribute this morning. In this lesson, because I've probably used that illustration before myself about salt being a preservative. But as we look at what it is that Jesus actually means here, is that what he's talking about? Is he telling us that we're to be a preservative? What would that mean? Think about it. Are we supposed to stop the corruption of the world? Is it possible for us to stop the corruption of the world? Is that what Jesus is saying? Salt is a preservative, so you're supposed to preserve, whatever goodness there is in the world. Well, when you think about it, the world is already corrupt, and it was corrupt in Jesus' day. The world is not righteous when you think about the world. The world is not good. It has been decaying. It's not moral. And so are we trying to slow that process down? Is that Jesus' intent here, that you are the salt of the earth? So you're trying to slow down decay. You're trying to preserve whatever goodness is left. And don't get me wrong, there may be some good points when you think about that, but when you think about the reality of what has already happened, when you look at the scriptures that make the point that the world is already dark and lost and dead in its sins, and it's deserving of the wrath of God. The idea that we are preserving the world from corruption gives the notion that the world's not bad, but it really already is. And so, what is it that Jesus means when he says, "You are the salt of the earth"? I know that people did use and still use salt in that way. They use it as a preservative. But if you look through the scriptures, look at the way that the word salt is used. And we'll look at the way that it's used here, and we'll look at it in some other scriptures. It's not usually talked about in reference to being a preservative, even though we know that it could be used that day in that way. So what is it that Jesus means? Well, look back at what Jesus said here in verse 13 of chapter 5. How did Jesus apply salt? He said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." So what function of salt is Jesus talking about here? Taste. Because that's what he says. He says he's referring to taste. If the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? So he's talking about my favorite attribute of salt here. You know, some translations read, if the salt has lost its savor or has lost its flavor. And so what is the point that Jesus is making here when he talks about salt? What is salt good for? It's about flavor. It's about taste. So he's not talking about the preservative nature of salt. It doesn't appear to be from my reading of this. He's not talking about purification. He's talking about seasoning. And just like we use salt to flavor food. And a lot of us, we don't even taste the food first. We go ahead and salt it anyway because we just assume that we're going to want more of it. Every cooking show that you ever see, there is a need to put salt in with the ingredients. If the salt is left out, you can really tell that. And certainly that was probably true for the ancients as well in what Jesus says here. The bland food was made to taste better when the salt was added to the cooking procedure. So when you read what Jesus said about salt and you apply the message in the way that Jesus applied it, you know, we're not coming up with all of these other ideas that we have about salt and the other uses that it has. What I'm saying is that maybe we read too much into this and we need to apply this the way Jesus applied the use of salt, instead of coming, well, salt is used for this, and salt is used for that, and salt is used for these other things. How did Jesus apply the use of salt? He talked about the taste of it. And so that's the way that we're going to apply this passage this morning. Let's consider what it is that Jesus was teaching. First, the first point that Jesus makes is that salt is about our identity. Notice that Jesus says that you are salt. He doesn't say you have salt. He says that you are salt. So Jesus is telling us what it is that we are, that this is your characteristic. This is your identity. And certainly this is in keeping with the other Beatitudes that we have seen. Jesus is describing who you are. And he's describing the identity of those who belong to him and belong in his kingdom. And so Jesus' disciples, they have an effect on others around them in that way that they are salt. That's really the simple idea that you have here of salt. If you are salt, then you are having an effect. You will have an effect on the earth. And so what does that look like? What does it mean to be the salt of the earth? And so one of the things that we notice that Jesus doesn't say in the Beatitudes is to describe us as that you guys are weapons. You're weapons on the earth. And what I mean by that is the way that we affect the world is not described here in an aggressive or angry or caustic kind of way. But do you sometimes see Christians that operate that way in the world, in the way that they interact with others? They interact in a caustic and angry way. And if you're on social media much, you see that sometimes. And what we see is that the world around us continues to shift and continues to decay, and it walks further and further away from the truth or from the principles of the Word of God. So how is it that we handle that? Jesus said, "You're to be salt. You're to be the salt of the earth." And so you don't ignore what's happening in the world. What the idea here is, you don't keep the salt to yourselves, but salt's not, to be something that's caustic and explosive either. And this is really emphasized in Colossians. It was the scripture reading this morning. Colossians 4, verse 6, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." So this helps us really to know what it is that Jesus is talking about when you're the salt of the earth, and how salt is used in this way. Paul uses the idea here of saltiness, in that your speech is going to be gracious. And I think it is kind of ironic that the meaning of the word salty has maybe morphed over time. And so when you see that somebody's speech is salty, or a pirate has salty language, it's not describing graciousness, but we are describing graciousness here. Your speech seasoned with salt doesn't mean you're going to talk like a pirate. It means that you're going to be reserved in the things that you say. You're going to be kind. You're going to be considerate. You're not going to be angry and caustic and sarcastic. And so that's really the opposite of what Paul is saying here. "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt." So seasoning with salt is describing graciousness. It means that you have added graciousness to the words that you have said. So we need to consider that when we think about being the salt of the earth, in terms of how it is that we speak, how it is that we show graciousness. Are we the type of people that are going to inflame a situation? Are we going to make a situation worse? Or would we be considered one that's described here in Colossians as having a gracious way of speaking, being seasoned with salt? Why do we need to do that? Well, we need to affect people in a way that they will listen to what we have to say. We must show that we are the salt of the earth and have our identity tied to Jesus. Many of you know that I have taken on additional area in my secular work, working for Konica Minolta. And some of those of you that are visiting don't know what that is, but Konica Minolta makes printing equipment. And I do training on that equipment. Well, I was going around to customers that used to be handled by another person and introducing myself. And one of the customers during the conversation says, "When you train us, are you going to talk down to us like Tim did?" And Tim was the previous person. And so that, to me, showed, number one, why Tim was no longer with the company. Number two, that he was doing something that was not considered to be salty. He was not being gracious. And so, yes, there are different levels of customers as far as who knows what and what their experience level is. But if you've ever been in that kind of business where you're customer service oriented, if there's somebody that doesn't understand certain concepts, you explain it in a different way. And you don't preface it by saying, "Well, I can't believe that you've been in the business this long and don't know this." That would be a horrible way of approaching that. And so what we need to do is we need to be able to affect people, and so they will listen to what we have to say. And berating somebody because they don't know that there's a difference in the Old Testament and the New Testament, or whatever it is that it might be that, you're at this level, so I'm going to have to really dumb this down for you, is not the way that you would approach studying the Scripture with someone. And so if you want to affect people in a way that is positive, you employ what Paul is saying here. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. Let it be gracious. You're not, I know this is a phrase that I hesitate to use because it's so overused, but I'm going to use it anyway and overuse it more. But people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You've heard that used before. And it's true, isn't it? That if you're not gracious in the way that you speak and not wise and kind in the way that you approach situations, then you cannot have an influence on people. I've told you before that my mother would read things that my dad would write because he had her proof a lot of things when he was having correspondence, and she would tell him sometimes, Frank, now you're going to win the argument, but you're not going to win the man because of the way that he would sometimes... So he had to go tone things down and say things in a different way. And that's what Paul is saying, that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Be kind. So what Jesus is telling us is that we need to put on this characteristic into practice. Especially with your speech. The world is angry. The world is explosive. We live in a time today where we see, so much division, especially in the political realm, that the people are full of malice and hate. And so what are we going to do? Well, we're going to choose a side and we're going to be just as hateful and just as full of malice, except that we're going to be on the right side of the hate. We're going to be on the right side of the malice. No, that's not where we need to be. We need to be the salt in the world. We need to speak and act in a way that helps the situation so that God is glorified. That is who you are. You are the salt of the earth. You are practicing the characteristics of Christ. You look different and you speak different. You react differently. You handle life differently, or you should. We understand the world differently. We deal with people differently. Why? Because we are different. We're saved by the blood of Christ. We speak with graciousness and kindness because of what has been done for us that was gracious and kind. And so you are to embody that. You are to be salt in the world. You're going to speak and act in a way that helps a situation. But the other thing that Jesus says is that you can lose your saltiness. And there's a warning here. If salt has lost its taste, it's good for nothing. I don't know how long you'd have to keep salt before it would lose its taste. But I guess that we use so much of it, we didn't ever get to that point. But Jesus is concerned here that you are going to lose your identity. Your identity is what? Your identity. And if you lose that, then you're not good for anything. You're supposed to be an agent of transformation, but you can't do that when your life is not pure and righteous and different from the world in the way that he has described the other attributes in the Beatitudes that we are to have. We're to be pure and righteous, and we lose our taste. And when we do that, we lose our effectiveness. And what does he say about that? You become worthless. That's not good. So when those who claim to be disciples fail to be pure, when they're no longer hungering for Christ, when they're no longer being poor in spirit, when they're no longer embodying meekness, they're no longer being peacemakers, those things that we've already talked about, then what does that do to our ability to have an effect on the world? What does it do to the effect that we can have on others? It means that's damaged. And once that's gone, Jesus said, you've lost your saltiness. It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. So disciples of Christ are supposed to have the ability to practice the gospel of Christ and have an effect on others. And the lack of having a virtuous life really negates the gospel. And you've probably seen that in the world. That's one of the problems that people have with the gospel, because they see people that claim to be Christians that don't act like it. Their speech is not consistent with that. Their actions are not consistent with it. And in fact, you probably think about Peter when you think about this illustration that Peter began to curse and to swear when people thought that he acted like one that was with Christ, and he changed his pattern, he changed his speech. And that's a default behavior that some have. Our conduct needs to be considered very seriously. And when Jesus says that you've lost your taste, you're no longer good for anything, it has a lot to do with the way that we embody these Beatitudes in our lives. How can we affect others in a positive way? How can we glorify God and not damage the cause of Christ if we're the salt that has lost its usefulness? So the salt of the earth shows, number one, that we're not allowed to turn inward and live our lives as Christians, you know, just to ourselves. You know, there are those that try to shut themselves off from the world. No, this is talking about an effect that you have on the world, and salt is going to have contact with the world that will be helpful. In fact, that's what Paul told the Colossian brethren: your words will be gracious. And why do you do that? Because of the effect that you can have on others. You're not separating yourselves and isolating yourselves from others. You're having an effect on others. And your saltiness is going to determine whether or not you have a good effect on others. So our actions will be merciful. Our words will be gracious. Our hearts will be pure. Our minds will be focused. Our attitudes will be righteous and poor in spirit. And I don't know about you, but the consequence here that Jesus references is really frightening. Because what he's saying is that if you're not this, if you're not salt, then you no longer have a purpose with God. That you can be an instrument of God's righteousness, or you can be nothing. And Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 6, verse 13, "Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness." Paul is saying you need to, all of you, your whole body needs to be living for Christ. Every member of our body is to be presented before God for His use. But if we've lost our saltiness, then Jesus says you're no longer able to be used. You're worthless, you're good for nothing, and you don't want that. You want to be a tool that is going to be used. We want to be using our tongue. We want to be using our body. And Peter pictured it this way, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. "Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So this is what it means to be the salt of the earth, to be dedicated to a purpose. That everything that you do is centered around godliness, around His kingdom. If you're going to speak, it needs to be you're speaking as God would speak. If you're going to serve, you're going to serve with the strength that God supplies. That everything that you do in your life, God is going to be glorified. And certainly that is a lesson for us whenever we're trying to decide, well, should I do this? Should I say this? Should I participate in this thing or not? Ask yourselves, does it glorify God? And if you can't answer that it's going to glorify God, certainly it's something that we don't need to do. It's as simple as that. Also, we need to ask ourselves, how is our saltiness? Have we lost our taste? Have we lost our saltiness? Are we able to help transform others in a positive way and point them to Christ in the way that we speak, in the way that we behave, in our interactions with them? What reaction do others have to us? Are we able to change relationships that others have with God in a positive way by the way that we speak? And the picture that Jesus gives here is very simple. Salt makes food better. And what's the point of salt if it's not doing that? Now, have you ever been in a restaurant where they didn't have salt on the table because the chef would be offended that you would dare salt what he thinks is already perfect? And, you know, I have not been many places where I agree with that assessment. And it kind of seems kind of uppity to me that the chef would think everybody has the same taste and same desire for salt. So you may have seasoned it the way you want it, but Randy needs more. But what Jesus is saying here is a very simple illustration, that the point of salt is saltiness. He said if the salt has lost its saltiness, it's not good for anything. If it's lost its taste, it's not good for anything. So it's a simple illustration. And if salt is not doing that, then we're not making anything better. If you are salt, then you are making things better. And if you're not making things better, then you're just making things worse. So Jesus says, don't forget who you are. You're to be demonstrating Him to the world. You're to be like Him. Who is it that you're influencing? How do you influence? So, you know, think about that. Think about how you talk to others. Think about what it is that you say when you write on, you know, Facebook and Twitter. That's certainly very trendy today to think about, you know, what people say and the reaction that they have when they post on social media. Many times things are insulting and they're caustic and are, you know, what gets most of the attention? Is it the language that's seasoned with salt? Sometimes there's salty language, but a lot of times we don't see this being embodied in the way people communicate today. A Christian can certainly be a difference maker in the way that they behave, in the way that they speak. We can speak in ways that discredit the gospel. I knew a preacher years ago who was a little caustic and offensive in the way that he approached people at times. And others talked to him about that. And he said, well, Jesus offended people too. And so he used that as an excuse to be caustic. And he was not one that was doing what Paul said and seizing in his speech with salt. Yes, Jesus offended others because they didn't like the message. Not that he was seeking to be offensive, or not that he was not embodying what he's telling us, that he was the salt of the earth. He wants us to be the salt of the earth. And if we speak in ways that discredit the gospel, if we behave worldly in a way that does not reflect being Christ-like, then we do damage to that cause. So Jesus very simply said, you want to be salt because salt has a good effect, and we need to embrace that and be the salt of the earth. And there's probably a lot of work that we can do in that area, especially when it comes to our speech, things that we say, and because many times our tongues are not being controlled the way that they ought to. But let's think about these things and think about the way that, that salt is used in the Scripture and try to be the salt of the earth as Jesus instructed us. We can help you in any way today to be obedient to the gospel of Christ. We invite you to come while we stand together and sing.